time goes by. And then, what's the other thing? God wants our hearts. Let me read a few verses from chapter 4. Chapter 4, verses 1 to 4, and then 9 to 11. So anyway, let's read the last verse of chapter 3. When God saw what they did, how they turned from the evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. Praise God, he is so good. God's patience and endurance. Anyway, but it displeased Jonah, because he wanted to see these enemies of his people decimated. It displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish." And this is why he went, because he knew God is a loving, caring God who wants to save. "That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster." Isn't it wonderful who God is? He relents. "Abounding in steadfast love. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." And the Lord said, "Do you do well to be angry?" It's interesting how God asks questions in the Bible. You know? He asks Adam and Eve, "Where are you?" He asks Abel, "Where is your brother Seth? What have you done?" Many questions. Do you do well to be angry? You know, it's a good question, because a lot of times that's our anger gets us. And men, I want to say this to the men, especially, we have to learn to know how to manage our anger and deal with it. And that's a good question for us. Do you do well to be angry? Because anger sometimes can come in and it could poison us, and it could poison our relationships if we give way to it. Now, anger is understandable. God himself is angry at sin, at the things that hurt and harm people. But anger left out of the grace of God, anger that turns to bitterness and resentment, causes great harm and great damage. Do you do well to be angry? And then what happens is Jonah goes out of the city and he pouts. He's waiting to see maybe this city will be destroyed after all. And he's outside the city. Now he knows he's smart, because if the city's destroyed, he doesn't want to be in the city. You know, he's outside the city looking in, it's hot. It's tropical climate. It's modern day Iraq, and he's hot. And God appoints or causes a plant to grow over him to give him shade. And Jonah's pleased about the plant. And it's just in these next few verses. I'm telling you what's there in the Bible. Then God appoints, just the way he appointed the plant, he appoints a worm. And the worm eats the plant. And the next day when Jonah gets up, the plant is with it. So there's no more shade over his head. And then the Bible says God points a sultry east wind. So the shade is removed. Now God causes the heat to grow. By the way, the Hebrew word for anger, the root of it, is to be hot. We use it today still. He's hot with anger. You know, he was hot with anger, so God has applied some heat to Jonah. And Jonah, now he's angry again. I mean, Jonah was an angry man. First he's angry at not destroying Nineveh. Now he's angry at God because he lost the shade of this plant. And God says, do you do well to be angry for the plant? And Jonah said, you bet your life I do well. I got to give Jonah some credit. You know, by the way, the Bible's a book about real life people with real life emotions. You know, I think some of us can see ourselves in Jonah very well. Others of us not in Jonah, but in other people who have needs. Anyway, Jonah says, yeah, I have every right to be angry. And then God applies the lesson of the book. Here's what the whole book of Jonah ultimately is about in verses 9 to 11. In verse 8, Jonah says, it is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, do you do well to be angry for the plant? And he said, yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die. And the Lord said, you pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should not I pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle? So God is arguing from the lesser to the greater, you see. He's saying, you had pity on this plant because it gave you comfort. I have pity on this great city. You know, God cares about people. And by the way, that 120,000, as I mentioned last week, who do not know their right hand from their left, he's probably referring to the young ones in the city of Nineveh, that great city. Because there were other people who did know their right hand from their left. And so God's grace, what are the lessons here? God is a God of grace and mercy. His grace extends beyond Israel. It was one of the great lessons in the New Testament when God brought Peter. Remember Peter on top of the roof in Joppa? He's taking a midday nap. Oh, smart man. And he has a dream of a sheet with all unclean animals on it. And the voice says, rise and eat. And Peter says, no way, I'm not going to eat. I've never eaten an unclean thing. And the voice said, call nothing unclean which God has made. Just then the doorbell rings. And the message from this Roman, this non-Jew, comes to Peter and says, come to my house. I've had an angel tell me that I should ask for you to bring a message to me. Peter goes to the house. He starts to talk to Cornelius and the whole gathered household. This Jew who would have nothing to do with Gentiles. They were persona non grata. Ugh. Unclean. He starts to talk to them about Jesus. And while he's talking, the Holy Spirit descends on Cornelius and the people with him. And they start to speak in other tongues the way the apostles did on the day of Pentecost. And Peter comes to this great conclusion. He says, I see that God is no respecter of persons. Who could deny baptism to these who have received the Holy Spirit the way we did in the beginning? I want to tell you, beloved, God cares about those outside of our circle. You know, I mean, that's the lesson here. That's the lesson of Jonah. That's the lesson of the New Testament and the whole unfolding of the gospel. Most of us, unless we're children of Abraham, most of us are here because of what God did in Acts chapter 10. But it was just an extension of a principle of the way God loves all. And there are none who are excluded, none who are so bad, none who are so distasteful that God doesn't care for them. And one final thing. And with this I close, I think. I hope. You hope. I came across a quote by F.B. Meyer, and he said this. He said, how often his word was gourds, because that's the word that's used in the King James Version. How often our plants, because Jonah had a plant over his head to give him comfort. How often our plants are allowed to perish to teach us these lessons. You know, there are things that we flee to for comfort. There are things that we flee to find respite and rest apart from the Lord. We try to escape in our own ways. And God comes and he causes these plants under which we try to find shade and our own self-comfort. He causes them to perish so that we have to turn to him and find his best for us, which is best of all. And there's a great lesson here to be applied, but I'll leave that up to the Holy Spirit to do it in each and every one of our hearts. Let's pray.